Welcome to Gateway again. And I was listening to that song and this morning, and I was in prayer for that song because earlier in the week on Thursday and Friday, Linda and I, we were at a two-day conference on human trafficking in town here. And my heart was ripped out. And when I was hearing that this morning, yours is the kingdom, yours is the power, and we will declare that, okay? We will declare that. We will continually declare that there is no place for this type of evil. Oh my goodness, and that's all I could say is, I don't say this often, but that type of stuff is from the pit of hell, you know? And anyways, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Mother's Day to you. Happy Woman's Day to all you fabulous women. Happy Mother's Day and Woman's Day to you. This stuff gets recorded, okay? So, and you know, you always sound better in your to yourself than it sounds on the recording. Like, I guarantee you that I won't sound like they sounded this morning, you know? So, wasn't that beautiful? You know, it's so beautiful. We're so blessed here, and we really are. In spite of ourselves, we are really blessed, aren't we? It's an honor, and it's a privilege to be here today with you, and I feel honored to be able to speak what I'm going to speak this morning into this house, into the lives of women, but also for men, because you know that I'm the biggest advocate of women, and when you guys don't line up, you know, and because I just think that women shouldn't just be honored on Mother's Day or women be honored on this day, but they should be honored every day. And in this house, I hope you are. I hope that you are, and that it's not a token thing, but you are, you know. So my mother was 5'1", although she told us she was 5'4". She did. She would argue with us. My mother was amazing, but when it came to that, she was very stubborn. I said, "Mom, you're 5'1". Don't you say that. I'm 5'4". And well, Linda's 5'3", 5'4", and she towered over my mom. But when my mom would stand beside Linda, she says, "Yeah, we're the same height, aren't we?" And so she was tiny, she was sweet, she was cute. And how many of you have ever said that about your mom? My mom is cute. She was. My mom was so cute, you know. You know, like moms, they come up to you and they just want to squeeze your cheek like that. That my mom was so cute, I wanted to do that to her, you know. And she was loving and she was caring. And but don't push her too far because her 5'1" suddenly looked like 6'1". And but that's a good thing because, you know, growing up with two boys, sometimes we needed a 6'1" mom. How many of you guys know that, you know? And sometimes that was good. But I'm thankful for my mom. She did not have an easy life, but she did her best, and she thrived, and she survived. And my mom died when I was 30, as many of you know. But I led my mom to the Lord before she died. I was the first in my family to become a believer. And I led my father and my mother to the Lord, and it was just the way it was. And I trust that she fully understood the decision that she made. And I know one thing for sure, if my mom was here today as a believer in this church, she would be a great spiritual mother to this house. I know that because the attributes she carried as a non-believer were incredible, and then mixed with knowing the love of Christ and then allowing that to just be upon you, she would have been a great spiritual mother to this house. She persevered in spite of setbacks, and she selflessly gave at all times, and too much at times, and sometimes without love in return, and sometimes without thanks in return. And how many can you relate to that, and yet you don't ask for it. You just do it. You just do it. And I grew up, my mother, even to this day, when I open a door for a woman or for a child or for any female or for any man for that matter, I hear my mother whisper in my ear and say, "Son, be a gentleman." And so it's not because I open. So if you were walking, Kevin, through a door, I would open the door for you too. It's just common courtesy. It's just common matters. So it's not even a male-female thing. It's just common courtesy. And so that was my mom. And God reveals some incredible things. This week I went through the scriptures and I looked at a number of women that I want to share with you this morning. And he revealed to me some wonderful gifts in women in the Bible, and qualities the Word of God reveals about incredible women. Women, you're incredible, you know? And some of them have become my heroes, and some of them will become your heroes as well. So let's just go through a list of some of them. And I'm going to end on Esther. Okay, I'm going to just talk about Esther for a few minutes, but I'm just going to talk about first Mary of Nazareth, and that's the mother of Jesus. So Mary of Nazareth, the mother of Jesus, is a model of obedience. She was just a teenager when the unimaginable took place, and the angel Gabriel appeared to her and announced that she was chosen to give birth to the Messiah. Mary. Like, think about that for a second. And Mary. Second, we have Ruth, the loyal daughter-in-law. And Ruth was a widow who showed remarkable faith. She traveled a difficult journey with her widowed mother-in-law to live in Bethlehem. And despite her tremendous loss, Ruth firmly believed that God would provide for her. And she is a model of bravery, of faith, and obedience. Again, these are champions. Like, these are all-star. These are all-stars. But the thing that they have in common with you is they have everything in common with you. And that's the beauty of it. And so it's not just for ladies, this is for us. And then we have Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist. Now, Elizabeth, I'm covering everything here. One's a widow. It's funny, this Elizabeth, she never had a child and was well past the childbearing years, when amazingly, through the grace of God, she conceived a son. And her child became John the Baptist, the prophet who foretold of the coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. Amen? And Elizabeth is a beautiful example of faithfully waiting on the Lord, who can bring miraculous blessings. Amen? Waiting upon the Lord because he could bring miraculous, miraculous blessings. And then we have Mary Magdalene, who is a devoted follower. Mary Magdalene, her life has been the subject of controversy and mystery for much time. New scholarship doesn't say that she was the prostitute as much as we have been led to know. Okay? But what is clear from the Bible is that Mary Magdalene was healed by Jesus and became a devoted follower of Jesus Christ. No matter what your background is, he could come today, he could heal you, he could deposit something in you, and you could become a devoted follower of him. What a tremendous testimony of not only Mary Magdalene, but of many of you here this morning. Amen. Amen. So she was healed. Jesus first appeared to Mary Magdalene after the resurrection. And the emphasis that the gospel writers give to this is no accidental appearance, but that Jesus appeared to Mary in order to make a statement. And we're making a statement here today because we must remember that in the first century, neither a Roman nor a Jew court of laws would allow the testimony of a woman to be evidence. Isn't that terrible? Like, oh my goodness, talk about human rights violations. Like, seriously. And yet Jesus chose Mary Magdalene to be the witness of the Messiah. You know, he could have easily have chose men, but he required that they hear the news of the resurrection first from the lips of a woman. You know, sometimes what happens is, ladies, I apologize to you, because sometimes us men and the society, this patriarchal society that we live in, that we have created, it's not a biblical society. Maybe we need to act like Jesus a little bit more, men. Don't you think? If Mary could be the first apostolic person, okay, because the words to Mary, go and tell, identify her as a sent one. An apostle is a sent one. Go and tell means that she is a sent one. Okay, which identifies her as the first apostolic commission from the risen Lord to go and proclaim the good news of his resurrection. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And this is why throughout history, Mary has often been referred to as the apostle to the apostles. Isn't that incredible? The apostle to the apostles. So I have no doubt that there are a host of Marys in the world today who are hearing the voice of God's instructions telling them to go and tell. We have no doubt of that. All we have to look around is and see. The Lord is doing something incredible in this day with women, but he always has, right back through biblical times. The last woman I want to talk about this morning is Esther. Esther was a young girl, orphaned, and living in a small town with her cousin Mordecai. And when she hears that the king is searching for a new wife, she had to be, or she was made to be, one of the candidates. Made to be one of the candidates. Think about that story now, in light of what I just went through this week. And Esther was taken from her home and commanded to live in the palace, undergo 12 months of beauty treatments, and spend one night with the king to see if he would like her enough to make her his queen. However, the king did not know she was a Jew. So Esther was a remarkable woman who put her own life at risk to save her people. She's an inspiring example of serving others under very difficult circumstances. Amen? My mother, your mother, some of you here. Oh my goodness. And when the king's right-hand man, Haman, devised a plan to kill all the Jews, Esther's uncle found out, went to Esther and asked her if she would go before the king so that the family of Israel would be spared. She was taking her life in her hands because there was no way she was allowed to go before the king without an invitation to go before the king. She was not allowed, a woman was not allowed to initiate a meeting like that, and yet this was a pivotal part in her life that she had to spare her people. So though she was the queen, she did not have that right, so she agreed to go before the king without an invitation, even if it meant death. Wow. Do you know all this stuff? Do you know this stuff about God and females? This is like incredible stuff. And when Esther revealed to the king that Haman had planned to kill her family, the king had Haman hung in the gallows. that were built by Mordecai. And Queen Esther risked her life and went before the king, her bravery. So the choice she made became the defining moment in her life. That was her defining moment in her life. It would define her future and it would define her people, right? In Esther 4 and 16, it says, "Go, gather together all the Jews who are in Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. I and my attendants will fast as you do. When this is done, I will go to the king, even though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Whoa! So how many of you have moments that define your destiny? Can you think of a moment that defines your destiny? Okay. And if you can't think of a moment that defines your destiny, there will be a moment that will come. Hear his voice and be obedient, because it will come. Our destinies, our calls, our futures are made up by the choices that we make. Every one of these women in the scriptures that we are talking about today made choices. They made choices by putting God first. Our destinies and our calls. And Esther mourned for the future of her people. She knew that if she stood in the gap and acted on their behalf, she could be put to death. But this didn't stop her from pursuing justice on their behalf. Amen? Wow. So choices shape destiny, right? And Esther was faced with a choice to step out of her comfort zone and exercise her authority as the queen to save her people. She is known as a great woman of courage, of bravery, a woman of influence. And I see this in each of the women that I spoke of this morning. And I see that right in a lot of the women that I know in this day. Esther and the Jewish people prayed and they fasted for 3 days. She needed to know the heart and mind of God and line it up so that her destiny would be fulfilled. Amen? You know, it's funny. As a pastor, you know, the word destiny and the word all of these things, they're all nice buzzwords. You can get it in every self-help book, every leadership book and everything. But we're talking about a destiny based on God here. We're not talking about, oh, this is my destiny. Okay, did you pray about it? No. Do you want to pray about it? No. Did you fast about it? No. Did you ask anyone else to pray about it? No. Did you go see your pastors? No. Did you go see your spiritual mothers? No. These are women of destiny because they put God first. And like Esther and other women mentioned here today, you will face circumstances, ladies. Okay? And wonder what God is up to in your lives. Have you ever wondered what God is up to in your lives? Okay? I can't even imagine a woman who takes a backhand. Okay? And wondering, God, what are you up to in my life? Okay? Women. The same God who worked through Esther is at work in your life today. That I know. That I could promise you. Okay? Because that is the scripture. The same God who is at work in Esther and Mary Magdalene and Mary and all of them is at work today. If you just open up your hands and say, oh God, I want my destiny based on you. She had a choice. She could have stayed indifferent to the plight of the people or risk losing her life. And this is the struggle that a lot of women, Christian women, face, you know. Will they rise up? Will they engage the culture, see the positive change for the kingdom of God? And the Lord has given women a voice in every area of society. Amen? Amen? Take it. The Lord has, we see that in the scripture. If you're not, if you're from a non-biblical background and you have a small knowledge of the scriptures, you would think that women were always oppressed and suppressed and everything like this. Well, I'm showing you this morning that women have always had a voice. Okay, maybe we have messed it up for you, but God didn't mess it up for you. So the Lord has given women a voice in every area, and maybe God has put in your heart to do something for him this morning. Amen. 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 Yeah. So I will close with this morning. Every strong man, I'm talking to the men here this morning, every strong man gives credit to women. Okay. Weak men take away, but strong men give credit to women. Amen? Every strong man gives credit to his mom. My mom wasn't perfect. There were sometimes I was so mad at my mom because I grew up where I see gold in them pews, okay?
Yes.
Okay? And I go mining for gold, not digging for dirt. And sometimes I saw some dirt because my mother's, and I was disappointed, I was hurt. But you know what? Every strong man gives credit to his mother. Amen. Or to a spiritual mother. Oh my goodness, what would we do in the church without spiritual mothers? Wow. What would we do without spiritual moms? You girls know that. How many spiritual moms have you had, Hannah, in your life? Just women that have just been there for you. Look at, am I right? And the Apostle Paul was no different. Everyone who thinks about the Apostle Paul, they think about when he was writing to the Church of Corinthians and he was telling women, he was addressing a situation. So society has made it up that Paul is this chauvinistic kind of guy. But, you know, that's not true. Because I will close with this. Paul never mentions a spiritual father in the scripture. But he does mention a spiritual mother. In Romans chapter 16, verse 13, he says this. He says, "Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, who has been a mother to me too." Now this obviously wasn't his biological mother, but a woman who had been a spiritual mother to him. And we know little about this woman, but at some point in Paul's journey, she had offered encouragement and counsel to Paul and had been like a mother to him. Moms, women, I honor you today. And although Paul never mentions a spiritual father in this writing, he makes a point to send greetings to his spiritual mother. Amen? So thank you, women, mothers, spiritual mothers, for your influence in so many areas of life. James, would you put that clip on for me, please?